Well, some call it an illness. Others just don't know. But with a Working on Wellness Wednesday, Davis, South Dakota native Rosemary Erickson is now a PhD forensic sociologist. What you may not know is that she is an educated witness for the serial killings like the one in Las Vegas. Rosemary, you didn't even want to go three blocks this morning for safety. You know, I'd be scared to go some of the places you do. Good morning.
Good morning. I thought of a phone-in.
What is a good girl from Davis doing in a business like this?
Well, it's been a long trip. And it started by growing up on a farm, but getting none of this violent crime stuff there. It's when I started being a sociologist and getting that kind of education that it just slipped into the area of violent crime.
Now, you are an expert witness, I read, for four serial killer cases, and it's the centerpiece of this book, which has got a signing next week.
That's right. The book is Serial Killers and the Aftermath. And the aftermath is when I get involved. When there's a violent crime, then if someone is sued, then I am brought in as an expert witness in the civil suit. So it isn't about the criminal trial. It's about the civil trial. But it all has to do with what happened with that criminal trial.
All right, share for our audience. I got to get inside your brain to figure out why you wanted to go from Davis, South Dakota, all the things that you did. And if you read the book, you can see that you were maybe hit on a little bit early, that you had to be careful what you wore to go to interviews, and that you did want to be an expert witness. And I want to know how you've learned from all these experiences and what you really bring to the courtroom.
Well, what my real interest is in research. And so I studied the criminal mind by having criminals on my staff at a think tank in California. So I almost, right out of high school and college, moved on to San Diego, California. And that's where I did most of my professional career and where I got involved with having criminals on my staff. And while they were working there, I didn't know it, but one of them was raping still at night.
That's a little scary. Now, with the Vegas case coming up, you and I were talking about it because there were some network crawls overnight, and it looks like they're talking about another concert and maybe some drones, some additional safety. Is that going to help in Vegas and other places?
Well, I think what everybody has to be concerned about and what I testify about is, did you do everything you could to keep the place safe, whatever it is? For example, if a woman is raped in a hotel, she's likely going to sue that hotel. Or one of my serial killer cases is a rape and murder in a hotel. And then the hotel is sued. That's where I get involved. And what we look at is, could you have prevented it? What's important to know is that it's very difficult to guard against what we call an irrational actor or a psychopath. And most serial killers are psychopaths.
We're going to talk about that, but I'm kind of intrigued by the fact that you can be hired either as a defense expert witness or a plaintiff's expert witness.
Correct. And what that means is that I'll either be called by the victim's family or the victim themselves and their attorneys who are bringing the case, or I may be called for the defense. And you have to be, as a true expert witness, you have to do both sides or you become an advocate or an activist.
Now, you and I talk about the research I do for the show. What research do you do to get ready, on regardless of which side you're in, if you're going to face all those high-powered attorneys in court?
Okay, the three main things are these. One is I visit the crime site. Another is that I go through all of the police investigations, but the most exciting part is going through the psychological background of the perpetrator, if the perpetrator has been caught.
Now, we're talking violent crime. We're talking people that are involved. Could be something more than just one person doing it. Could be organized crime. And you had a case in February 2007 where you had arrived in Detroit. You might not have been here today.
Detroit's very iffy. When you go to Detroit, I'd been in the car, the taxi, for 5 minutes, and the back window blew out. And the driver turned around and looked at me and said, "Who would be shooting at us?" And I said, "I don't know. I just got here." And so that was the way I arrived in Detroit. And one of the saddest things I saw there on my ride-arounds and visiting crime scenes were teddy bears in the trees. And I said, why are there little stuffed teddy bears in all the trees? And they said, that represents where a child has been murdered.
Scary.
Very scary.
Now, I guess, just looking at numbers, how many serial killers are really out there?
Right now, they believe the FBI's latest estimate is somewhere between 30 and 50 that are operating right now in the United States. Now, there are over 200 that just haven't been caught. But guess what? They're not doing anything right now. And that's not unusual. They can go dark for 10 or 20 years before they start killing again, or they may never kill again. So you have two different numbers. You have active ones, 20 to 50 or 30 to 50. And then you have the ones that may be on a break.
Rosemary Erickson, the book is called Serial Killers and the Aftermath. The book signing is scheduled next week. Downtown Sioux Falls, 2 to 4 o'clock. Where is it?
Zambros, right downtown on Phillips.
So the book itself, as I look at that, scared the bejeebies out of me to look at that book. You know, I didn't want to put it on the shelf right beside the bed and then worry about pillows and everything else that we're going to talk about. But I did worry a little bit about looking at that saying, is that Sioux Falls? Is it?
No, so far we've been very lucky in Sioux Falls. I have a statistic for you. In 106 years, there have only been 7 serial killers in the state of South Dakota.
Give that again, please.
Only 7 in 106 years. It's the safest state in the country for serial killing. So we want to keep it that way. And it's one of the reasons I moved back. It's one of the safest states.
Now, in our news this morning, we're talking about organized crime here, gangs. The fact that that is increasing. Does that scare you at all to want to go back to Davis or go to another state?
Well, it wouldn't make me go to another state because we're still way behind the other states as far as organized crime or gangs. But it's, you know, we're growing, and with growth comes crime.
Who's at risk with serial killers?
For serial killers, the people most at risk are young women. And there's one good news about bit of good news about aging. If you're over 60, your odds are very small of ever being killed by a serial killer. They prefer young people.
What's young?
20.
That's better than your age or my age.
That's what I mean. There are some advantages to having more birthdays.
All right. You're in a courtroom. You walk in. They may or may not know you, as far as the jury obviously is just listening. When you come in, what kind of looks do you get in the courtroom as you are making your testimony?
Well, crime is very interesting to people, and the jurors have become much more educated in the 20 years that I've been doing this. They used to just sit there rather sober-faced and watch, but now they all think they can solve the crime because they watch Criminal Minds and Mindhunter and CSI, so they're experts, too, in their minds, and they love trying to solve the crime with me. So now I get direct questions from the jury through the judge, and that never happened before the crime shows.
Now, you give credit to your husband. Why?
Well, he works up the cases with me. He was in military intelligence, and he also does a lot of the investigation. So he goes in and interviews the actual perpetrators most of the time, rather than my going in.
This is going to sound like a strange question, but I'm a strange person sometimes, okay? Quit laughing, Gail. But the truth is, what are you going to do when you retire?
Nobody thinks I'm going to retire. I keep threatening, and they say, yeah, I believe that. No, that's not going to happen. And so writing the book was sort of a way of retiring, but I do still have active criminal cases, including the mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas.
All right, so how do you put your shingle out there that you are a witness that can testify in these kind of cases? How do they know about you?
I've never advertised. It's all come word of mouth from attorneys. And I have a website, but the way people find me is from other attorneys that I've worked for.
We talked about Detroit. Any other close calls?
Any crime scene, people say they know me most for the words, let's get out of here. Because that's the first thing I say when I get there. It's like, okay, I've seen it. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Because they're all scary, the crime scenes, because these violent crimes have happened right at that location.
Does the media cover you?
Yes. Occasionally as far as trials, but most of the media coverage that I've done over the years is safety tips for people to help people be safe.
Sounds like another show we need to do.
Let's do it.
All right. let's go back to the book signing. Next week, the 21st, 2 to 4 o'clock, and it's where?
This Saturday at Zambros from 2 to 4.
What was it you said you needed to say? Let's get out of here?
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here before somebody shoots out our window.
That's right.
Rosemary Erickson, great story. Do they let you come back to Davis? They have a Rosemary Day in Davis?
No, well, there's just not anybody left in Davis.
All right. We appreciate the visit. Good luck to you. Thanks for the story.
Thank you.